Volume 40, Number 6 of the New Era Magazine for June 2010. Official monthly publication for Youth of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Copyright 2010 by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated. All rights reserved.
The Message. Is There a Point of No Return? By President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. The gift of the Atonement of Jesus Christ provides us, at all times and at all places, with the blessings of repentance and forgiveness. During my training to become an airline captain, I had to learn how to navigate an airplane over long distances. Flights over huge oceans, crossing extensive deserts and connecting continents, need careful planning to ensure a safe arrival at the planned destination. Some of these non-stop flights can last up to 14 hours and cover almost 9,000 miles. There is an important decision point during such long flights, commonly known as the point of safe return. Up to this point, the aircraft has enough fuel to turn around and return safely to the airport of departure. Having passed the point of safe return, the captain has lost this option and has to continue on. That is why this point is often referred to as the point of no return. Are there points of no return in our lives? Satan, the father of all lies, 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 18, the father of contention, 3 Nephi chapter 11, verse 29, the author of all sin, Helaman chapter 6, verse 30, and the enemy unto God, Moroni chapter 7, verse 12, uses the forces of evil to convince us that this concept applies whenever we have sinned. The scriptures call him the accuser because he wants us to feel that we are beyond forgiveness. See Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Satan wants us to think that when we have sinned, we have gone past a point of no return, that it is too late to change our course. What is the Lord's plan for our safe return? Protection against the influence of the devil comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the good news that Jesus Christ has made a perfect atonement for mankind. It is the message of love, hope, and mercy that there is a reconciliation of man with God. Sin is the willful transgression of divine law. The atonement of Jesus Christ is the gift of God to His children to correct and overcome the consequences of sin. God loves all of His children, and He will never cease to love and to hope for us. The plan of our Heavenly Father is clear, and His promises are great. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. John chapter 3, verse 17. Christ came to save us. If we have taken a wrong course, the atonement of Jesus Christ can give us the assurance that sin is not a point of no return. A safe return is possible if we will follow God's plan for our salvation. This plan enables us to exercise a physical existence, including mortality, a time of probation, and to return to the presence of God and live in eternal happiness and glory. It is explained in the doctrines of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. How is divine forgiveness possible? We acknowledge that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. But we also declare with firmness that repentance and forgiveness can be as real as sin. The atonement of Jesus Christ causes each person to be accountable for his or her individual sins. We will overcome the consequences of individual sin by claiming the blessings and benefits of the atonement. For salvation cometh to none except it be through repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Mosiah chapter 3, verse 12. It is not repentance per se that saves man. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. It is not by our sincere and honest change of behavior alone that we are saved, but by grace that we are saved, after all we can do. 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 23. True repentance, however, is the condition required so that God's forgiveness can come into our lives. What does true repentance consist of? We need a strong faith in Christ to be able to repent. Our faith has to include a correct idea of God's character, perfections, and attributes. Lectures on Faith, page 38. If we believe that God knows all things, is loving, and is merciful, we will be able to put our trust in Him for our salvation without wavering. Faith in Christ will change our thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors that are not in harmony with God's will. True repentance brings us back to doing what is right. To truly repent, we must recognize our sins and feel remorse, or godly sorrow, and confess those sins to God. If our sins are serious, we must also confess them to our authorized priesthood leader. We need to ask God for forgiveness and do all we can to correct whatever harm our actions may have caused. Repentance means a change of mind and heart. We stop doing things that are wrong, and we start doing things that are right. It brings us a fresh attitude toward God, oneself, and life in general. What are the fruits of forgiveness? True repentance blesses our lives with the effects of the atonement. We feel God's forgiveness and His peace, and our guilt and sorrow are lifted away. We enjoy the influence of the Spirit in greater abundance, and we are better prepared to live with our Heavenly Father. Jesus promised, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John chapter 14, verse 27. The prophet Alma, who was reclaimed from sin to happiness by God's forgiveness, declared, "Wickedness never was happiness." Alma chapter 41, verse 10. He had witnessed the bitter pains of sin, but he also spoke with excitement about the happiness that accompanies true repentance and forgiveness. "Yea, I say unto you, there can be nothing so exquisite and sweet as was my joy." Alma chapter 36, verse 21. Alma concluded with powerful and wise counsel to all who seek forgiveness. "And now I desire that ye should let these things trouble you no more, and only let your sins trouble you with that trouble which shall bring you down unto repentance." Alma chapter 42, verse 29. How can we know that God has forgiven us? Once we have truly repented, Christ will take away the burden of guilt for our sins. We can know for ourselves that we have been forgiven and made clean. The Holy Ghost will verify this to us. He is the sanctifier. No other testimony of forgiveness can be greater. The Lord said, "He that repents and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven." Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 32. And He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Be faithful and diligent, and I will encircle thee in the arms of my love." Doctrine and Covenants, section 6, verse 20. And He declared, "Behold, he who has repented of his sins, the same is forgiven, and I, the Lord, remember them no more." Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, verse 42. Satan will try to make us believe that our sins are not forgiven because we can remember them. Satan is a liar. He tries to blur our vision and lead us away from the path of repentance and forgiveness. God did not promise that we would not remember our sins. Remembering will help us avoid making the same mistakes again. But if we stay true and faithful, the memory of our sins will be softened over time. This will be part of the needed healing and sanctification process. Alma testified that after he cried out to Jesus for mercy, he could still remember his sins, but the memory of his sins no longer distressed and tortured him, because he knew he had been forgiven. See Alma chapter 36, verses 17 through 19. It is our responsibility to avoid anything that would bring back old sinful memories. When we continue to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, 3 Nephi chapter 12, verse 19, we may trust that God will remember our sins no more. How does extending forgiveness help us to receive God's forgiveness? Jesus taught us eternal truth when he taught us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." 3 Nephi chapter 13, verses 11 and 14 through 15. Therefore, extending forgiveness is a precondition to receiving forgiveness. For our own good, we need the moral courage to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. Never is the soul nobler and more courageous than when we forgive. This includes forgiving ourselves. My dear young friends, when the captain of a long-range jet passes the point of safe return, and the headwinds are too strong, or the cruising altitude too low, we might be forced to divert to an airport other than his planned destination. This is not so in our journey through life back to our heavenly home. Wherever you find yourselves on this journey through life, whatever trials you may face, there is always a point of safe return. There is always hope. You are the captain of your life, and God has prepared a plan to bring you safely back to him, to your divine destination. The gift of the atonement of Jesus Christ provides us at all times and in all places with the blessings of repentance and forgiveness. Because of this gift, the opportunity to make a safe return from the disastrous course of sin is available to all of us. For this I give thanks to our Heavenly Father, and of this I bear testimony with all my heart and soul. From an April 2007 General Conference address. End of the article. The message, "Is There a Point of No Return?" by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, read by Scott Tippetts.